Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. There's lots of great music on the way today. In lovely Bethania, we've got British and indie rock, singer-songwriters, and a few good covers for you at the Muddy Creek Cafe. And from the music faculty at High Point University comes an outstanding selection of woodwind quintet music to delight us, so stick around. The Hispanic Arts Initiative provides platforms for Latino visual and performing artists, raising awareness about Latino culture and our fast-changing social demographics. The organization's signature event is the annual Latino Visual Artists Exhibit. Punto de Vista, Latino Perspectives, opens Friday, January 10th at the Womble Carlisle Gallery of the Milton Road Center for the Arts. Hispanic Arts Initiative Executive Director Maria Sanchez Bodie spoke with me recently about the exhibition. She was joined by Mount Tabor senior artist and photographer Carla Garcia. Maria was born in Cuba, and she's been enhancing cultural inclusion here in the Triad for decades. One of the goals or kind of parts of your all's mission is helping people to experience Latino culture through artworks.
Right.
Which, for those of us in the world of art, makes a lot of sense. But maybe you could give us some examples of that.
One of the things we tried last year, and we also are trying again this year, is to have artwork that most of the time represents and clearly shows the artist's connection to their native culture. What's interesting about our exhibit is that these are all Latino immigrants, except for one, which is a first-generation Mexican-American. But these are really immigrants. And so an immigrant feels a very strong need to stay connected to their native culture, because otherwise you lose your cultural identity and you feel lost. You're not embraced by this culture and you've lost touch with your own. So you're in limbo. So art is a great way for an artist to express that connectivity. And a lot of the artworks in last year's exhibit and again in this year's exhibit clearly demonstrate that connectivity.
Give me an example.
You know, for example, some of the artists have scenes, native scenes, maybe in the countryside, that reflect nature and also people doing, you know, daily life things. So it just connects an artist, and it shows that this nature scene here, these activities, obviously are not taking place in this country, because you can see by the artwork that there's another place that this took place in.
Now, I know you all are very interested in transitioning the local art scene into a more diverse representation.
Right.
And how do you go about that?
Well, one of the things that we've done is the first three program categories that we implement are all done in collaboration with established organizations and institutions. So it's a way for those organizations, by partnering with us, to, in a very cost-effective way, begin to bring cultural diversity to their program. If we try to do it alone by just through our own programs, we're not able to reach as many audience members as you can when you actually partner with an organization. So really the number of people you can reach is almost limitless, because it depends on how many partnerships you're able to establish.
What can we expect at the Latino Visual Artists Exhibit Series this year?
It has grown from last year. Last year we had 15 artists exhibiting. This year we have 20. Artists are coming, again, from all over North Carolina, so we have people from not only our immediate area, but also from Raleigh, Charlotte, Fayetteville, the coast, the mountains, you know, Asheville, from everywhere. We wanted to make sure that it had a statewide footprint. If we truly are going to create doors of opportunity for Latino artists, you need to go further out. You need to expand your scope. And they also represent many countries, such as Cuba, Puerto Rico, Chile, Dominican Republic, and, you know, so on and so on. So we also, in our reception, try to create a cultural immersion experience for non-Latino guests. So we combine the visual arts with the performing arts. So we will also have live music at the reception. We've invited a Colombian harp player from Raleigh and a local percussionist from Puerto Rico, and they're going to be providing the live music. And then we have contracted Do Mexique Catering to provide Latino food. So you're combining the visual arts, performing arts, and Latino cuisine. And hopefully when people enter the space, they're transported into a different culture, because Latinos on that night are the majority in that space. And so it brings a different energy to the reception.
Listo, vamos a bailar.
Yes, definitely.
I'm already there.
Definitely.
So of the 20 submissions, 20 artists represented, what's grabbed your imagination? Could you talk us through one of the pieces that struck you?
There's one artist that I truly adore. His name is Cornelio Campos. He's out of Raleigh. And his work represents what I asked him to do this year. He has two categories of artworks. One of them is political, And so this year I asked him to submit some political artwork, and it deals with the themes of immigration and the challenges that people meet in terms of education, access to the overall community. All of those elements are clearly portrayed in his artwork. It definitely shows the indigenous influence, but in a very unique, transformative way.
When you say it shows the indigenous
by the features and the, the expression and the coloring of the individual.
Okay.
You know, the mestizo look versus the Caucasian look or the black look.
Yeah. So in addition to reaching out to some of the institutions we're all aware of, I know you've had affiliations with SECA, Salem College, other universities in the area, you're also reaching out to young people, to students.
Yes, yes, very much so, because, in fact, this is why the main thrust of our tours are going to be students.
So you're going to be going to schools and presenting?
We're going to try to do two things. So if they are not able to come to us, then we will take the exhibit to them, do kind of a virtual tour of the exhibit. What I want to do with the exhibit with the students is to do a very brief lecture called The Immigrant Experience, which highlights not only the immigration shifts and the projections in terms of population, but it also talks about what the experience feels like. You know, what is an immigrant? What does the process of becoming acculturated to the new culture feels like? How do you ultimately assimilate? What does that feel like? How does that impact your life? One of the things that it does in families is it creates a division, because you have parents that are immigrants that are still, their worldview is based on their native culture. And then you have the child who is struggling to acculturate and assimilate. And the more they do that, the more division that the family faces within. I faced that in my family growing up. So I know what that experience feels like.
That's right, because your family came from Cuba?
Right.
And you were six?
I was 6 years old. And so, you know, Cuba is basically half an hour from Miami by plane. So 1 minute you're in Cuba, and literally 30 minutes later, your world is upside down. You're living in the United States. You've lost your family. In my case, I never saw my father again. So it creates a lot of emotional hardship. And you really do not know how to function in this new world. I mean, everything is new, from everyday experiences to the food that you eat to the smells, because your environment has a smell, whether it's dictated by nature or food smells. Like, we cook with a lot of garlic, not done here. We black beans and rice, not so much eaten here. So everything, your life totally gets turned upside down. And you also want to fit in. You absolutely want to fit in. You look different. You sound differently. The people around you are not assimilating you. You feel like an outcast. So it's a very, the process of being an immigrant is very lonely. It's very emotionally trying. And it's very divisive within family units. So I know what that whole process feels like. So in our lecture, The Immigrant Experience, we talk about not only define the term immigrant acculturation assimilation, but speak about what that feels like. And it gives students, not only Latino students, but non-Latino students in the schools, have an opportunity to express what this whole new reality feels like to them.
And we get a chance to find out what that feels like from the ground here with a
exactly.
local student. And this would be Carla Garcia, and a fine local artist in photography and two-dimensional art.
Right. She's a high school student from Mount Tabor, and I wanted to have her as part of the interview because she represents the experience, the immigrant experience, but she also represents the new social demographics. In fact, 60% of North Carolina Latinos are already U.S. born. So North Carolina is beginning to transition from being a predominantly immigrant state to one that is multigenerational. She's part of that whole new movement of Latino youth born here who are clamoring to belong because this is their country. They're U.S. born. And she represents that new generation.
So, Carla, tell me first off, what drew you to take pictures?
It was something random. It was a little bit before my Sweet 15, where I just started taking photos of my little, snapshot camera. Mm-hmm. And for my quinceañera, I got an Nikon.
Quinceaños. Tell us about that celebration.
Quinceañera?
Uh-huh.
It's basically when you turn 15, and I guess it's celebrating the female turning into a young woman, just like a Sweet 16.
So you start taking some pictures leading up to the quinceañera, and what sorts of subjects do you gravitate toward? What interests you in terms of what you're going to take?
I don't like portraiture much because I feel it's difficult to guide the person, how I want them to look, and then they kind of don't know exactly what I'm thinking of in my mind. So I lean more towards nature and anything around me, but not much of the people.
Tell me about the program at Mount Tabor. You're a senior this year?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What sorts of mentoring or arts mentoring do you receive at Mount Tabor?
See, I started taking art my freshman year, but it wasn't really what I liked because it was always the teacher saying, you have to do this and you have to use this material. Mm. So I did not take art my junior year, and instead I took photography at Career Center, which was not what I expected either.
Uh-oh.
It was a lot of math involved. And so my quizzes weren't always great, but my photography was always 100s or 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So I just decided not to do photography anymore.
Well, so you're kind of forging your own path, sort of?
Yes.
As part of the Latino community here, I mean, tell me about Latino Achievers at Mount Tabor.
I enjoy that program because it kind of gives all the Latinos hope that you can be something in life, although we do have many put-downs also.
Mm, tell me about the put-downs.
A lot of people say, well, I mean, it's kind of true. We can't do much if we don't have our papers. But then again, you can actually make something out of it.
What are you engaged in along those
lines?
You
can fulfill your dreams. I've heard stories of undocumented students having full ride in college. So if they can do it, I'm pretty sure we all can.
Let's talk about some of these photographs, because one thing that grabbed my eye right away looking through not only the portraits but the nature scene is this combination of colors from the German Shepherd sitting in the leaf pile with the coat and the leaves kind of blending like that, and then the blue of the sky and the ocean kind of melding into the blue T-shirt of your friend on the beach. What goes through your head when you set up these photographs? What are you looking for?
Well, I don't really set them up. See, the picture, the photograph of the German Shepherd was on Thanksgiving, and he was just there enjoying the day. And I thought it was really cute because it's rare when he sits and stays still. So I just wanted to get a picture of him because he looked adorable.
Yeah.
And it just all worked out.
The lighting, everything perfect on that shot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned portraiture is not really your thing, but you capture that the elderly gentleman with the white beard and the big sky behind him in a beautiful way.
That was actually for an art project. I was focusing on the poverty and how people live and how not many pay mind to them and just ignore them. And they think they're fakes, and I just wanted to point out that not all of them are fake. I actually got to talk to him, although I did not get his name. He's been here for about 5 months. He was doing this job, but it turned out to be an illegal scam, and he didn't want to partake in it.
Hmm.
So he's stranded in here, and he's from Alabama, I think. And I just asked him if I could take a couple of shots, and he said yes.
Oh.
Just happened.
What do you want to do with your art?
I wish I could have my career based on my art, but I'm afraid it won't cover everything.
Hmm.
I personally want to make a cafe and sell my art at the cafe. I want to be a business owner.
Mount Tabor senior artist and photographer Carla Garcia, and she was joined by Hispanic Arts Initiative Executive Director Maria Sanchez Bodi. The opening reception for Latino Visual Artists Exhibit 2014 is Friday night, January 10th from 6 to 8:30 in the Womble Carlisle Gallery of the Milton Road Center for the Arts in Winston-Salem. Punto de Vista, Latino Perspectives, invites you to experience the diversity of Latin American culture as expressed by 20 talented North Carolina artists accompanied by Latino musicians, dancers, and cuisine. You'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend.